dedicated to trots racing. On Winners, welcome to Gate Speed.
We're now talking trots, and joining us Blake Redden and also Cody Winnell for the next 20 minutes or so, talking about some of the things we've learned and very special guests. How are you guys?
Yeah, I'm really good, Nads. Looking forward to chatting all things trots. Of course, we had the Melton Plate on the weekend. We'll get to. We've got some good races across Easter this weekend, Code. So, as per
Absolutely,
usual, it's jam packed.
Yeah, it really is. And footy's kicked off again as well. Just on a side note,
you took the nine, didn't you?
No, Max Gorn cost me. I got eight.
In the work tipping, you tipped nine, I reckon.
Well, that'd be amazing if I mucked up my tipping and actually got a perfect score. But no, loving the footy being back as well. My footy days were cut short by a thug act down at in the bush back in the day. So I just enjoy watching now. But big weekend of trots coming up too, and a huge week, so it's great.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about some of the things, guys, that we've learnt over the past week. And first of all, Sex Sensational, as top liners go war to war again in the Melton Plate.
Yeah, and this has become a theme of the last, 12 months, these top-line elite-level horses. And I think we can now safely put Shadow Sacks into that category. They are producing some fantastic races. We saw in the Kilmore Cup only a week or two before this race that they went to war a long way out. And again, Shadow Sacks was tested by Soho Tribeca. Admittedly, Soho Tribeca, I think you'd probably say it's maybe the end of a long campaign. He's been up for a long time.
It's been a long campaign, hasn't it, for that horse? He's done a marvellous job.
Yeah, I mean, he was up before the Inter-Dominion, really.
And exactly.
He's had a few, I guess, freshens up, you'd say, in between. But for his effort to go through all those big races and still be there, he's huge. But he was left lamenting later, Shadow Sacks, who had that peg line advantage over the middle trip compared to the Kilmore Cup. Of the staying trip, he was able to use that advantage, and he was really strong through the line. I think we now just put a line through his Hunter Cup run where he just clearly wasn't himself, and now he's sort of stamping himself as that elite level right there with those good horses. So big props to Shadow Sacks, and he's off and gone in the country championship, isn't he, Coach?
Well, he's won the Cranbourne Cup, he's won the SA Cup, which is not part of that series, but it's worth noting, and he won the Geelong Cup, and of course third in the Ballarat Cup. So you can't knock the races, as well as the Hunter Cup that you mentioned there, when he speared out and led initially, which was a terrific gate speed effort. But this horse, he's won 19 of 30 overall. He's absolutely elite level, Blake, Shadow Saxon. Huge future ahead for Shadow Saxon. Yeah, massive. Just, I guess, deserves all the plaudits that it's getting at the moment, because this horse has done a super job. Potentially has flown under the radar somewhat, but I think really announcing himself now as an out-and-out star.
And also, Valley continues rise with Scotch Notch.
Yeah, this is Tornado Valley, of course. We've probably lauded him strongly enough, I guess, over the last 7 or 14 days, given he won that Trotting Grand Prix. He was so brave and strong to beat Sparkling Success there, despite having the inside running. But, he's shown that he's a serious, serious trotter. His New Zealand form was, I think, fair without being spectacular, but he's already stamped himself. And, he won again on the weekend. I think he's incredibly well-placed this Thursday night at Melton. He's in a TM1 to TM3, so because he came over so lightly assessed and has risen so quickly, he's going to clean that race up, you'd have to think. And and Codes, it's just a little bit of X factor, something different to the trotting ranks, which looked pretty settled at the middle with Red Hot Tooth and Sparkling Success as those clear top two. Now he's sort of forced his way into again that bracket.
Well, Kate and Andy Gath are always going to have a trotter at the top level. Blake, Tornado Valley's that horse at the moment. Is this the heir apparent to Glenferrie Typhoon, or am I making that call just a little bit early in terms of just where this horse can go and what it can achieve now with Kate and Andy, who do such a good job with their trotters, or with all their horses, but gee, they've got a good record with the trotters in recent times.
I think he has to be. I mean, he's pretty much done it already in the Trotting Grand Prix. So he's definitely in the conversation for the Inter-Dominion already later this year.
Where's he stack up against horses like Sparkling Success, of course, who is talking about that trip over to America? Where would Tornado Valley, just in your mind right now, opinion, where would it stack up against a horse like Sparkling Success?
Right here and right now, of course, this could change in 6 months. He may have a break and not come back as well as he is right now. But, he has proven if he's in front, Sparkling Success couldn't run him down.
No.
Now, whether Sparkling Success, again, had a long enough campaign up to that point, I guess that's one question that we won't have answered till later. But he's right there in the conversation.
Definitely. And also, Vic's Hold, their own as Bathurst Carnival kicks off.
Yeah, this was terrific to see last Friday night at Bathurst. Of course, we kicked off with the Tiara Heats, and then on Saturday we had the Gold Crown Heats. And there's a convoy of Victorians that head up there every year, and some really smart horses, Desirable Stride, I think he might have drawn the pole in its final. So it's a horse that's definitely worth keeping in mind about time. Won a heat. There was some fillies that did some really good jobs on Friday night as well. So it's often been the domain of, you know, those early season 2 year olds from Victoria. You can go up and try and pinch a really good race, and certainly there's three or four that look like they're going to get their chance in the coming week or so, Codes, to measure up. But it's a really good guide, I guess, on where those New South Wales versus Victorian 2 year olds are at this time of year.
Absolutely, and of course they're going to have a great battle throughout the season when it comes later on for Breeders' Crown, that sort of thing, and also the Vic Bred Super Series. But it's a great carnival, the Bathurst Carnival, every year. Mickey Stanley doing a great job with his horses up at Bathurst, had a good winner yesterday there, of course. Blake, we had Soho Thunderstruck get the win there at the weekend, I think it was what was the one that
Desirable Strike. It was one of the heat winners, but Major Kiss was up there for David Jack, won a heat as well. So
and About Time looked really smart for Nathan Jay. That horse has been going well at the trials in the trots.com.au trial file, and has come out and gone 2 for 2.
Also, no win, no feed for Jamie Madruga. So it's been a good week or two for the Victorians up there at Bathurst.
Definitely, and also Man Stamps himself with back-to-back sprint wins.
Yeah, we're talking of Maxi Man, of course. We'll get onto this a little later in the program. Cody, your return to the show. You've brought the thought bubble with you, but
out of the archives.
We won't spoil that, but we will talk about Maxi Man's win in the Stampede, because he's done it 2 years running now. He sort of looked off the bit a little way out, and the one lap dash he was sort of struggling to keep up, but once he found his groove, he really launched down the outside, and it was an exciting race. We've seen some exciting races in the Stampedes across the years, and it was a blanket finish. Loving a Chevy was unlucky. It was just a good quality spread of horses, and Maxi Man, deny him nothing, he's made it 2 on the trot in the Stampede.
I thought it was a fantastic race, and Maxi Man, as you say, off the back straight, was just being strapped along to try and chase up that horse in front, and I think the Marg Lee horse was coming into the race really well at that point, but it was only being driven along there, I suspect, Blake, at that stage, so that it could really start accessing some of that strength that it had inside of it finish it off. Because he's a great sprinter, but he's a class act, and he can run obviously over further as well. But these sprint races, amazing to think, the last 6 times or 7 times or whatever it is we've run this Stampede, the winners have been coming from all different places, and quite often they're coming from off the speed somewhere as well. So it is interesting, because I guess, the uninitiated might just think straight away you've got to lead over 1,200 metres to win. Not the case.
No, indeed. And the one thing that we don't really talk about Maxi Man anymore, which used to be his main attribute, is his intestinal fortitude. He loves to stick his neck out and get the job done. He obviously hasn't been winning as much as he used to.
You used the word I was looking for before, fortitude. That was the word.
He's a horse that he knows where the winning post is, and that's something that you can't teach a horse, and he's one that does have that.
Absolutely, yep. No, terrific job, and it was Andy Gaff had a good night.
And also Oaks Filly on the move following high profile sale.
Yeah, I think this one's still a little bit to play out, but She's All Rock has been purchased, I guess, from Mark Pitt Stable. He may continue training her, at least through this Victoria Oaks series, and then potentially onto the Jewels, or she may go to Mark Purden. I think America's being spoken about in terms of her long-term future. Probably another thought bubble or a discussion for another week in terms of the horses currently being sold to America, and what we can try and do to keep them in our racing population. But regardless, a pretty big story over the weekend that she's gone for good money, and she's already won a New South Wales Oaks. She's going to be right there in terms of the conversation for the Victoria Oaks, and it'll be sad to see her when she does go, Codes.
She's such an exciting high speed horse. She's got a real future, and that New South Wales win was terrific. So great to see, and I think Mark Pitt made the point that the offer was just too good to pass up. But that horse has certainly done wonders for him in his training career.
That's for sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about the thought bubble. And guys, do we need more super sprint races?
Now, this is something that you've posed this morning, Codes, and I think it's a really good discussion point for the show, because it's something that I think divides the trotting public in general, whether we want to see one lap 1,000 metre dash races or 1,200 metre dash races compared to having those normal sprint, middle distance, and a lot less staying races these days. A lot of it, I guess, something that people get a bit upset about is that it's maybe product driven, that we want to have short races so we can get the races over and done with. I don't necessarily think that's a huge issue. I think You know, coming off the back of the Stampede, which was such an exciting race, there's definitely a place for it. My counter-argument to some degree...
I've never made the argument yet.
Well, my counter-argument to what you will say, and again, it's not that I'm strongly invested in it, but I find, particularly with the lower-class races, which you would have to have at least a good portion, if not a larger amount of, compared to the higher-class sprint races, is they can often find their positions really quickly in a lower-class race. Horses drawn inside have almost too big an advantage because they're an even bunch of horses, and then, you know, they can become boring leader behind leader dominated races. Whereas in the Stampede, for example, you had a really good breadth and spread of class in that race, and it made for an exciting race because there were horses with probably better form or better credentials coming from off speed and putting themselves into the race. So you can run wild a little bit on it, Codes, but it's definitely worth, I think, discussion.
Sure. Well, I guess with the 1200 metre races, there aren't enough of them necessarily, in my opinion, to form a strong view as to, or an opinion as to how they actually do get run. We have seen with some of those lower class 1200 races exactly what you're saying, but I guess the question would be, if you programmed more of them and horses got more used to running in them, and trainers and drivers got more used to driving and producing horses for them, would we see those patterns come out differently? I mean, the Stampede has been terrifically successful in terms of the way the races run each year, with horses coming from off the speed and other horses trying to lead and whatnot. And I think we've had a leader win the race. I think we've had specialists like Coastal come out and get it done. Yep. And we've had horses coming from well off the speed. Look, I loved what I saw on the weekend, and I think properly promoted, and your point you make about the lower class horses and the way the races are run, that's important too. I think it creates a potential opportunity for us off the back of the Stampede going forward for maybe, I don't know, maybe a Melton Monday night type of setup in the summertime. I know we've got meetings that go on the Monday night, or maybe it's a Monday afternoon thing, and maybe it's a series of 1200 metre races run across different classes, and then leading into a final. I mean, you could potentially kick it off early January and run it each Monday with a series of 1200 metre races leading into a final on the first night of the Summer of Glory, Blake, over 1200 metres. It's kind of, all sport is moving toward, at least a part of it, toward that shorter attention span for new punters and trying to attract new punters. The Greyhounds race over 30 seconds, okay, job done. The cricket has the 2020, the Big Bash type setup. The AFL's trialling things with the, can't remember the name of the competition, but the
AFLX.
One, the AFLX, there you go. Mm. And I think that, you know, you say people might get upset about the product and this. It's not something to get upset about, because we're not going to change the entire calendar to just run 1200 metre races, even if this idea did come to fruition. It's more about, I think, creating a potential opportunity, trying something new, see if it works, see if the punters warm to it, see if you can promote it, get new people, and that's got to be good for the industry. And then the 55-second challenge at Moonee Valley, that's fantastic.
A couple of points that I'd like to raise. I think it has merit, what you're saying, and I would love to see, say, a Monday afternoon summer series when the Gallops, potentially in Victoria, will continue what was a trial this year in terms of not having a Monday meeting and perhaps running a race every 20 minutes at Tabcorp Park Melton, short, sharp session of racing. Mm. I think potentially you could get a pool of horses to run in this series you're bringing up, and maybe have a good class spread, split them into different races, so it's not all COs or C1s. It might be a spread of class, maybe by prize money last four, or different ways you can do that. And
run for points.
Having preferential barrier draws, run for points to go into your series final. So there's definitely opportunity, and I would love to see also a trade-off where if you do have, say, these eight, hypothetically 1200 metre races on a Monday, you trade off to get more staying races on a Wednesday or Thursday, and having more staying races at some stage of the week. So I think there's, you know, definitely ways it can work, and, you know, in terms of programming, I love the idea of those 20 minute gaps, because they're shorter races already. You don't need as much time to run the race. You can get the next race going more quickly. That could definitely work, I think, as an option.
And that's all it is at this stage. It's just a discussion, it's a thought bubble, it's an idea, and you know, I guess before you go and launch it, you need to make sure there's buy-in from the trainers and the owners, that they're keen to support it. And also, you want to get the mood of the industry. So, folks, what do you reckon? Is there room for 1200 metre races? If it was on a Monday, would you want to get round it? Would you want to follow it and jump in and make sure you're in front of the TV? We get yourself, Blake, or Bonners in its sky, potentially pumping it up. Make an event out of this just for those few weeks, and really, you know, pump up that space.
Yeah, I think it has plenty of merit, Nards.
Definitely. Well, we've got leading reinsman Chris Alford joining us. How are you, Chris?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
That's all right. Before we get into Thursday out at Melton, what are your thoughts on these sprint races?
Yeah, I can't say I'm a real big fan of them at the moment. Sort of suits a certain kind of horse, and yeah, I think draws come down a lot to it. Although, you know, the best two horses from out wide won the other night. They're just sort of hard races to drive. Like, there's no real plan. Most people just go out and go flat out. So, yeah, they're pretty hard races to get a guide on yet. I think they'd need to have, you know, either a lot more of them or sort of none at all.
Do you think, Chris, that the Stampede, as an example, it kind of does work because there is that class discrepancy? It's a preferential draw, so you know that the good horses, A, will probably get into the race at some stage, and B, have to do work to sort of get into the race?
Pretty much. I think, as you said, like, you know, Maxi Man, who won the races, was the sort of best class horse in that field. And when you look at, say, just a normal CO or a C1, they're sort of, you know, sort of, one's probably $1.50, the worst horse in the race is 50-1, so there's sort of too big a discrepancy in the horses that are running.
And you make that point, Chris, that if you have more of them, do you think that you would see drivers, you know, adjusting their tactics as they get used to driving in them? Because I guess right now it's just one here, one there, and not everyone gets the opportunity to drive in them and to really, I guess, know how they should approach it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, you've got to be able to probably train them a little bit different. Like the gallopers,
good point.
The gallopers have the luxury of, they've got 1,200 metre horses, 2,000 metre horses, you know, stayers, whatever, where ours sort of race all distances. And to bring them back from, say, our shortest one is a mile, I guess, back to 1,200, it's sort of completely different.
All right, Chris, let's get down to brass tacks and talk the Shaker Maker Classic on Thursday at Melton. I must say I was a little surprised when I first went through the race. I thought Four Big Men, obviously they're all unknown to some degree, maybe the pick of Emma Stewart's two-year-olds, but you'll be driving Centenario, who admittedly was very good when sitting parked and beating Fides last time out after a very impressive debut. Tell us exactly how that's gone down and why Centenario.
You know, it was a hard one. They're both very good and, both on their way up still. I probably pulled the wrong lane, but I just think that at this stage, Centenario is just probably a little bit more of a racehorse than Four Big Men at the moment. Like, Four Big Men still, you know, I wouldn't say there'd be anything between them on ability-wise, but just with a bit of ring craft, I think the other one might just have the edge.
They both looked exciting, but I must say, Blake and I had a quick chat in the office the other day, and I thought Centenario, it's the one I'm leaning towards, Blake, and Puppets sort of backed me up there on that one. Didn't necessarily go with me straight away on the sprint races, but certainly with Centenario. But, Chris, you've also got... Emma's obviously got a host of two-year-olds that she unleashes every year. Where do you think these two are going to end up stacking up in what you might have driven already or what you're aware of that's coming through?
Yeah, I think they will probably be their two benchmark colts, with another one that trialled again last night, Hard Hitter. He seems pretty smart as well. So I think that, you know, they'd be the three main ones. But they've you know, got probably trialled about 10 last night. And, you know, some take a little while to hit their straps, where others, like these two, sort of just had two trials and straight to the races.
You do have an incredibly good record at choosing the right one, I guess, Chris. Tell us a little bit about how you make that choice. I assume you probably don't do anything really or much at all with them outside of trial and race day. Is it something that you can just the feel they give you straight away? Is it their racing style? How, given, you know, you might have only sat behind Four Big Men two or three times and Centenario three or four, what sort of things is it that you're looking for?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, all the things you said, just how they handle themselves on race day. Centenario, he's, really relaxed and pretty much goes out there like a 3 or 4 year old already and just gets the job done. Like, he ran out of the gate the other night at both his starts, actually, really quick, and then settled well and finished well. Where Four Big Men, he raced at Kilmore and he got a little bit upset. He got his earplugs out and we couldn't get him back in, and he put on a bit of a turn, but he went out and did the job once the race was on. So, you know, it's always hard, you know. I'd probably get it right 60% of the time, but, you know, they're both owned by a big group of people and, you know, they do well to support me and I just have to try and pick the best one race day.
And Chris, another one you're associated with, an exciting horse, which Blake, I know, is a big fan of, is Miss Graceland, who returned really well. And then last start fifth at Kilmore. What can you say about, I think she's drawn well this weekend, Thursday night?
Might be a bit awkward without you, but I'm okay. Sure Puppet will be doing his best to retake the lead.
I think she just had a bit of an off night at Kilmore. She was in a mile race and they went 53 and a bit and she just sort of never got a chance to get up on the bit and travel where her first two runs back she sort of led and dictated where on this Thursday night I think she gets out pretty good enough to hold the front and yeah she should bounce back to her best I think.
And Chris, is there an update on the good trotter, the exciting trotter Wobbly? Anything changed since we last spoke?
Oh, no, he just had a week off after he won that race the other day and had a week's jog and he'll back to start fast work tomorrow. The people from New Zealand contacted us and he's been invited to the drills, so we have to sit down with Alison and discuss with Colin, you know, what sort of the options are. There's a lot of racing for him, so... whether it's worth going over there or not, I'm not too sure yet, but we're going to work all that out this afternoon, probably.
That Jules campaign could work. I think you were saying following the race last time that there's a sort of an opportunity that could fly in, fly out pretty quickly and you wouldn't really miss anything here.
Oh, no, it's not whether he'll miss anything here because I think it'd just fly in Thursday out Sunday, but it's just sort of the heavy schedule because you've got, you know... Size stakes, I think later in that month, and our Derby and New South Wales Derby and Breeders' Crown. There's so many races, and just don't want to overtax him again. Sort of, you know, he had a lot of runs last year, and it took its toll on him in the end, and we don't want to do that again.
Just on his last win, Chris, again, I think you were saying post-race that potentially we didn't really see the best of him. He was very, very good in the heat, but he had a pretty troubled week leading up to that final.
Yeah, he just had a bit of a knock on his back leg that was annoying him and probably annoyed me more than it annoyed him. And we didn't work him probably as hard as what we should have from the heat to the final, just in case it was worse than what it was. But, no, it's all good now and we'll just press on.
Chris, I think I know the answer to this, but his two-year-old career was absolutely sublime and quite amazing. Is there... a chance in your mind that his three-year-old year will be better?
It'd be pretty hard to better what he did last year with, you know, four Group 1s and a Group 2, but he started off the right way and he does seem a lot bigger and stronger this year. So, I've got no doubt if he stays sound, he'll, you know, unless something jumps out of the box, he's going to be mighty hard to beat in all the big ones again this year.
Absolutely. He's an amazing racehorse, Blake. One of the more exciting horses in the game, I reckon.
Yep. He's very spectacular. Chris, thanks very much for joining us. And you sort of already conceded defeat on Centenario. No, you haven't. But
it was a spell, Blake.
Good luck on the weekend.
Thanks, Blake.
There we have it. Another.
Well, he said I've made the wrong decision.
No, well, yeah, that was a strange comment. But I'm in the Centenario corner just at this stage. But
There we go.
Okay, guys, it looks like it's going to be a pretty good meeting out there on Thursday.
Yeah, well, it's not just Thursday. We've also got the Ararat Cup on Saturday night, Codes, and the Warragul Cup on Sunday. So it's a massive Easter weekend, as it always is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best way to spend your Easter, get along to Ararat. I reckon I'll be actually heading to Ararat Saturday. It'll be a ripper meeting. Always love getting down there for the Cup. So, cracking weekend ahead.
Wonderful. Thanks, guys. Have a great Easter.
Good on you, Nard. You too.
Cody Winnell and Blake Redden with this week's edition of Gate Speed. It's 12:08.